This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. Dignity and Services is an advocacy movement speaking and acting on behalf of and alongside persons with learning disabilities. In today's show, we look at how the right living skills can help this community transition towards economic and social empowerment and eventually independent living. So joining me on the show today are Helen Tay, who is the Executive Director of Dignity and Services, as well as Pang Hin Yu, who is the co-founder of one of their employment projects, Big With Dignity. Welcome to the show today, Helen and Pang.
Thank you, Kelly.
So just to start off, tell me a bit more about Dignity and Services. What inspired this organization?
Yeah, Dignity and Services, we support adults with learning disabilities. And this has actually been established about 28 years ago in 1991 by a British gentleman, Reverend Peter Young, who spent his long time career in caring ministry. So together with two of his friends, Dr. Sam Abraham and social activist Dr. Dennison, they set up together Dignity and Services with the aim to support the learning disabled community.
I see. And you know, how many volunteers do you have within this organization?
Currently, we have volunteers come and go. Yeah, basically, we have about those who are on a regular basis with us. We have about 3 to 5 of them.
Mm-hmm. So it is a small organization.
Yes, right.
So how long have the both of you been working with Dignity and Services?
I joined Dignity and Services in 2014. Mm-hmm. So this is my 5th year now.
And Pang?
I think my involvement with Dignity and Services goes back to maybe about for at least 15 years, because I knew Matilda John. Okay. And Matilda started a column in the Star called One Voice to represent the views of people with learning disability. So we both were helping to do the column. It's a monthly column. That time my child was still very young, but that's how I got an idea and insight into Dignity and Services. So by the time my son became an adult qualified to be part of DNS program, so I think I have a fairly good idea of what DNS does. And I'm pretty inspired by the people now, Helen and previously Matilda. Mm. Yeah, and of course our chairman, Josh Green, who has been so kind to us. So yeah, that's how I got involved.
Before we go further into this, just give me a brief overview of, you know, what is a learning disability?
Learning disability is a broad spectrum of neurological disorder. That includes people with Down syndrome, autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, ADHD, you know, and any other form of developmental delays. The cause is usually unknown. The unknown factor is the disorder that affects the brain's ability to receive and process information.
And is this more of a lifelong condition for all of those who have learning disabilities, or is it something they eventually overcome, like, say, for example, dyslexia?
They may improve, but would not be able to, like, overcome solely.
So they learn to somewhat live with these different abilities.
Yes, okay. You're right.
And, you know, what are some of the challenges faced by those with learning disabilities in daily life? How does it impact the way they carry out daily activities?
Okay, as a parent, I can tell you that I think one of the biggest problem is communication, because somehow, whatever they may understand, fully aware of what's happening, but many have problem articulating their thoughts, their feelings. And so it's a challenge for us as carers,
right?
And even for people in the public, you know. But of course, some are pretty verbal and very good, and But yes, communication is one of the biggest challenge.
And how about when it comes to work and education? You know, how does this impact their other aspects of life?
Yeah, I mean the thing is. Learning disability, like she said, is such a broad spectrum, okay? There's no such thing as one-size-fits-all solution, because It could be genetics, it could be, something, the way the brain is wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at all these factors. And so as a result, there's no specific solution for A, B, C or D, person. So A may have these issues, so you have to address those particular issues. B may have some other issues. So it's quite challenging, actually. So, but what we want to do is, DNS is to actually bring these people together and find some common grounds where we can help them to communicate, and we reach out to them and, mm-hmm. And vice versa.
So when we talk about learning disabilities, most of us think of children, young children. Does your organization, you mentioned earlier, it also includes adults with learning disabilities. And how is that different? Do you have both children and adults, or is it specifically only for those who are older?
In DNS, we support only adults with learning disabilities from the age of 18 and above, and to no maximum. Yeah, currently, our most senior member, we call them as member, she is 58 this year.
Oh, 58.
Yeah.
So for those of them who are a part of your organization, how long do they normally stay with you?
Currently, we have these two main programs that DNS is running. One of the program is actually the supported living program, where that is a weekend overnight stay program where our adults with learning disabilities get to get together with their peers and learn about basic life skills. So this program is designed in a way with a duration of 3 to 5 years. It is actually a transitional model into adulthood. But like what Pang had just said, there is no solution like, one size fits all. So we are still flexible, although we have a duration design, but then we are flexible depending on the individual capability, whether or not they can actually move on earlier or they may need a longer support.
And so, Pang, just going back to you for a minute, you are a parent of a child with special needs who also has learning disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
How does this impact the way you work or how you interact with other parents or, those you come across in this line of work?
I think basically, as mothers, we tend to, gravitate to like-minded mothers.
Mm.
I mean, who share similar vision and passion for our children. So we tend to gravitate to the same kind of people. So that means what I like to do with other parents is that, everybody has different wealth of knowledge. For instance, we have a parent, a friend who's a medical doctor and she has a special needs child. So it's very interesting to get her perspective of things. And then we have this other parent, wow, she's all out, she has a master's in special needs studies from the UK, and she's very involved and very active both in Singapore and Malaysia. And we look to her for inspiration. Hey, what are the seminars or workshops for tips? She's fully equipped. She knows a lot of stuff. So we look to her. Then we also look to other parents who have so much love and so much kindness and patience, and they're so resourceful. They don't have the means, maybe the money or the power, that kind of stuff. But we look to them because, wow, they are so giving. And so some of us mothers, we are drawn to we just tend to have connection in that way. So that helps a lot. Because we need people who have heart, because, we're very thankful that Helen, has been so kind, steering the thing. Because NGO work is a thankless job.
Right.
It's a lot of man hours. She and her staff have sacrificed so much time for us.
Yeah.
So, so we are very grateful for people who have no special needs who still want to help us.
Mm.
And we're also very grateful for parents or even friends who rally for us, who become the resource person. It's really inspiring. Especially to meet other mothers who have the same kind of passion and same kind of idea that we want something for our kids. Of course, how do I put it? We don't want them to all dress up and nowhere to go, that kind of situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to give them a purpose. And so I hope we're doing the right thing. I mean, we make mistakes all the time. But at least, you know, we learn from each other. I think that is a very important thing, because all these parents, if my son doesn't have this diagnosis of autism, I wouldn't have met so many interesting people. I mean, parents that you would be so unlikely to meet, you know, but here they are. And so in that sense, that brought us a bit of happiness and hope and joy. It's a difficult road to travel, seriously. And we are very thankful to all the doctors. I want to mention especially our neurologist who's helping our son, and all the other therapies have helped him in the past. Yeah, I mean, that's really great. So we thank you for people like Helen.
We don't see it as we are sacrificing, you know, right. But then it is also a learning curve for us, and we learn from each other, in fact.
Oh, that's very nice to hear what Pang has said about you. I am speaking to Helen Tay. She is the Executive Director of Dignity and Services, and also Pang Hin Yu, who is the co-founder of one of their employment projects, Big with Dignity. Today, we are talking about empowering those with learning disabilities and helping them achieve an independent living. We'll be right back after the short break. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. On today's show, I am speaking to Helen Tay. She is the Executive Director of Dignity and Services. And we also have Pang Hin Yu, who is the co-founder of one of their employment projects, Big with Dignity. We are discussing empowering those with learning disabilities and how the right living skills can help this community transition towards economic and social empowerment. How can families and caregivers, you know, support relatives with learning disabilities? Because, you know, for those of them who might be listening in right now, they might not necessarily have this community that you do. So how can they support their relatives with learning disabilities?
Sure. In DNS, besides supporting the adults with learning disabilities, we work very closely with the parents or the caregivers, guardians as well, yeah, especially on the counseling part. And we debate the issue about letting go together, you know. And one of the main issues that parents usually has the fear is about the long-term plan for their children, their special needs children, when parents are no longer around. Yeah, so this is one type of support on the counseling part, and we work together on towards the plan together with the caregivers and the parents.
I mean, as you mentioned, support, the kind of support that DNS provides, like counseling, you know, are there classes or is there training of some sort? Because you do help prepare them for working life. You know, what kind of support, other kinds of support do you provide those who come to you?
Yeah. Under the program, under this supported living program, which is a overnight stay, a weekend program, they come together and learn about basic life skills. So basically, the program will not only define within the premise. You know, we will bring them out for social inclusion. Mm-hmm. So here they learn about, besides household chores, cooking, yeah, we bring them out for grocery shopping as well. And to prepare them for the working life, yeah, it is also about transportation is also usually a main factor. Yeah. So for those who are more capable, we will also train them in taking public transport. Yeah, okay. How to use public transport. Social skill is also one of the skill that is very lacking in people with learning disabilities, especially there's no boundaries for them. So one of our programs, we always emphasize about boundaries, and what are the appropriate behaviors in public and private places. Yeah, these are the training that we are supporting them.
Mm. And when we talk about some of the social and living skills that DNS provides them with, could you be more specific? You know, what kind of skills are those? You mentioned communication earlier, but when it comes to getting a job, you know, there are so many other living skills that is a part of that. You know, so what else is involved in that process?
Like, for example, our employment project, which is Big with Dignity, that is a sheltered employment, providing the adults, the individuals, a safe place to work in. So in this particular project, we train them in their fine and gross motor skills. At the same time, we are also looking from the behavioral management aspect as well. So at any one time, we have to remember that there will be a place like a chill room for them to, you know, to rest after a while, to cool down.
Is there usually a certain time period that you notice that they are able to pick up the skills and to somewhat, you know, go out there and apply for a job?
It is actually very individual. Some of them who picks up faster, they can even start with their official job placement like in 2-3 months' time. But some may need a longer period, like even years. So it is really very different.
So you have mentioned that, you know, you as an organization, you do equip that those in this community, that from the learning disabled community, with social and living skills. You know, what kind of experts do you have within your organization that to train these individuals and to prepare them for this kind of work?
I believe every organization, they do have their own criteria when recruiting staff or volunteers. Likewise, at DNS, our group of support staff, although small, only three of us, plus some volunteers, including the parents themselves, basically, they are all people with a big heart. So our primary requirement, we are looking from the aspect as besides their passion, the understanding and the acceptance of the special needs group is the key factor.
And Pang, you are the co-founder of Bake with Dignity.
That's a big word. I'm just a kitchen helper. I'm just one of the many parents who are involved in this. There's another parent. Her name is Marina, who's equally passionate. And I think, I want to add that parents who are willing to work and put in lots of hours, this is the place for you. So, I mean, you talk about qualification. None of us have the kind of qualification to run the kitchen. But we do have a desire to see that everyone has an opportunity to work, or even if you're non-verbal. But, you know, some of our bakers, they don't talk, but they're fantastic with the knife and they are good at cooking. They bake cakes. So I think that is quite a lot. I mean, and for someone else who may be verbal, I mean, learning disabled, but very verbal, but may not be very good with knife and the fire and all
their
that.
Hands.
So this is where our kitchen is. It's full of imperfections. But what we want to do is to bring everybody together, and we try to help each other out and see who has, I mean, their strength. You know, like some are really good with the knives. I mean, you know. So we let them do a lot of cutting and cooking and stuff like that. And those who are weaker, we help them and we support them. So that's why we are there. So, yeah. So that's what the role of parents are in our kitchen, as well as the volunteers who come. And I think the good thing about the whole thing is that we do have a passion to see them succeed, you know. I don't know, because there are many countries doing some similar stuff, you know, having a cafe and all that stuff. And I can only say that, I mean, we may not be very structured. We may not have some, based on some theory, you know, some therapy methods. But I think the point to stress is that Matilda John, the previous executive director, always say, to ensure that they all lead an ordinary life. That to, I mean, things that we take for granted, but the celebration of ordinary life, of doing things, ordinary things, you know, is such an effort for some of our friends. So in the kitchen, it's a celebration to able to do the ordinary things. I mean, like sweeping the floor, cleaning up, washing up, cutting and cooking and baking and stirring.
And besides the Bake with Dignity, you know, what other projects do you have that do you work on in the long term? Such as, I mean, how long has Bake with Dignity been around?
Big with Dignity started very casually in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's
years.
Like 8 years
wow,
now.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So as I explained about these two programs that we are running now, the Big with Dignity and the Supported Living, but somehow, of course, we have our limitation in terms of space and manpower. So we are looking at replicating the projects, actually.
Okay.
Yes. So we are open the recruitment to any individuals who are passionate and also has the same vision to get in touch with us, and we can work together on how we can replicate the same model, yeah, and to make it available in more other communities and locations.
I see. And what kind of results have you seen from some of the services and the training and the skills that you've provided them with? You know, do you see that they are able to assimilate better? Are they more confident in themselves today? You know, are there more job opportunities available for them after that experience with DNS?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, after especially their involvement in the whole process, that definitely increased their self-esteem and also their confidence level. Yes.
And they get paid too.
Yeah.
They get paid as well.
Yes.
Why is it, you know, why do you think it's important for, say, people in the learning disabled community and even caregivers and parents to have that sense of community with people who may be in a similar situation? You know, for example, what has it done for you besides just meeting interesting people, as you've mentioned, and meeting these friends that you can support you? What is the main priority when it comes to having a community like that?
Because they're already marginalized, and so what we want to do is to try to make sure that they're included, not excluded in the community. Because I think there may be awareness about, let's say, for instance, autism, but that does not translate to empathy or even some degree of understanding if they see a child having a meltdown in a mall. So I think we would like to see more people having a better understanding and better support, and I agree that to some degree, yes, maybe if a child is inappropriate, then help us to find strategies to manage that kind of situation. And I think more understanding, and of course, we wish for the government to review the Person with Learning Disabilities Act 2008, because when that legislation was passed, absolutely no provision to protect the rights of the disabled. I mean, there are a lot of definition of, guarantee the rights, but there's no penalty. For instance, that law doesn't tell you that what is discrimination, what is the parameter, and if that people fall in that category of violating the rights of the disabled, where's the penalty? Zero. None. So it's a bit of a toothless tiger right now. I mean, so no thanks. So we hope the new government will look into the act to better protect people with disabilities. I mean, this covers both the mental and the physical disabled. So, you know, that'd be great, you know, because it's no point talking about, oh, we got discriminated, but what are the penalties? And what are the things to ensure the public, you know, in terms of behavior. So not only our side had to modify our behavior for the people with learning disability, but as well as the public.
I see. What is the biggest challenge do you face as an NGO that deals with learning disabilities in particular?
Mainly, I would say funds and manpower. In these two areas are always our struggles and challenge all the time. Yeah, and not only in Dignity and Services, but all other NGOs, as we talk about it, that is the same challenges that we are facing.
And, before we end, the DNS has an event coming up next month.
Right. It's on the 16th of June, Sunday. Everyone Can Run 2019.
All right. Yeah. That's what the event is called, Everyone Can Run.
Yes.
So tell us more about it, and how do we participate?
To participate, they can simply just log into our website, www.dignityandservices.org, and there are all the informations about how to register there. However, this is our annual fundraising event, and this is the fourth year now that we are organizing Everyone Can Run. Yeah, the objective, besides raising fund, we would like to also promote social inclusion and to raise public awareness for the learning disabled community. We have various categories. This year, we added in a 2km run as well. Yeah, hoping to get more all age groups to participate. We have 2km, 5km, 10km run on the 16th of June. For those who can't make it, can't join the run on that day and can't be present physically, they can also opt for our virtual run category, whereby they can run anywhere, anytime within the stipulated time, that is from the 16th to the 23rd of June. Mm-hmm. They have 1 week to plan their time out.
And you mentioned earlier that you are looking for more volunteers to help out. I mean, if anyone, if anyone listening wanted to volunteer, how can they get in touch with you for that?
Yes, they can also, same thing, log into our website or contact our phone number 010-288-1201, WhatsApp or just a call away.
I've been speaking to Helen Tay. She is the Executive Director of Dignity and Services, and Pang Hin Yu, who is the co-founder of one of their employment projects, Big with Dignity. We were discussing empowering those with learning disabilities and how the right living skills can help this community transition towards economic and social empowerment. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Live and Learn segment, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.